The first reading is from the book of Psalms and is Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near you, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the flowers of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" or "What shall we wear?" For the pagans seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Help us as we look into it now, that you would help us to see what it really means, not just for those who first heard it, but for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I have two greetings to bring you. One, Happy New Year. That's Chinese New Year for those who are that way inclined. And also, of course, a Happy Valentine's Day. Some of you may have had anonymous cards this morning. I won't ask you for hands. There's a hand. As I came into church, I opened up my mask, and there was a heart inside it. Isn't that nice? Isn't that lovely? I wonder who put that in. Have you ever wondered how Valentine's Day got started? Well, here's the story. It was about 250 years after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and there was a priest by the name of Valentine who lived in Rome. Now, at the time, Claudius was emperor, and Valentine didn't much like Claudius, and neither did anyone else, really. Claudius wanted a big army, and he thought men ought to volunteer to join up. And many of them just didn't want to. They didn't want to leave home. They didn't want to go off and fight in wars. They didn't want to leave their girlfriends or their wives. So very few men actually volunteered for the Roman army. And this made Claudius very cross. He had this crazy idea. What he'd do was... the problem was that if men were married, they therefore tied to the home, they wouldn't want to join the army. So what he said was, I'm going to abolish marriage. Seemed a bit extreme, but there will be no more marriages. Young people thought this new law was really cruel. Valentine thought it was ridiculous. Because one of Valentine, as a priest, one of his favourite duties was to marry couples. And after Claudius had passed his law, Valentine kept on performing marriage ceremonies, but only in secret. He would whisper the words of the ceremony while listening to see if any soldiers were coming and knocking on his door. One night, Valentine did hear footsteps at his door, and the couple he were marrying managed to escape, but he was caught. He was thrown into jail and told that as a result of this, he would be put to death. So he was in jail. Many young people came to him in jail to visit him. They threw flowers and notes up through his window. They wanted him to know that they too believed in love and marriage. And one of these young people was the daughter of one of the prison guards. Her father allowed her to visit him in his cell, and they often sat and talked for hours. She believed that he had done the right thing by ignoring the emperor and continuing to perform marriage ceremonies. And on the day that Valentine was to be put to death, he left her a note thanking her for her friendship and her loyalty. He signed it, "Love from your Valentine." And that's where the idea of Valentine started, the custom of exchanging love notes on Valentine's Day. It was written on the day he was martyred, February the 14th, 269 AD. And now every year on that day, we remember St. Valentine, who'd discovered to his cost that following Jesus was not all plain sailing, even for Christians. Now, Psalm 91 that we read earlier has a very similar message. I believe it's a travesty of the gospel to say, as some people do, I'm afraid, that when you become a Christian, everything's fine, it's all plain sailing, nothing bad will ever happen to you again. We know that isn't true, but some people try and say that. And on the contrary, Jesus told his followers, for instance, at the end of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, he told them to expect trouble. "Blessed are you," he said, "when..." not if, but when "people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Note also what Jesus said to his followers in Luke 21. "You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish." Hang on a minute. You may be put to death, but not a hair of your head will perish. What on earth does that mean? How much comfort is that, you wonder? Well, I think the message is that God is always looking after you and caring for you, but you may go through troubled times, tough times. Nowhere does God promise freedom from pain and suffering until, of course, the very end of time. And that's where God's focus is. And that's where our focus needs to be too. Our gospel reading reminds us, on the right, to focus on the right things, not clothing or food or other earthy and earthly things, rather focus on his kingdom. At the end of this world, when there'll be a new heaven and earth, a new kind of kingdom, then there will be no more pain and suffering and death. Well, you can read all the good stuff in Revelation 21 and 22. Read it for yourself. So Jesus' words to his followers were warning them that there would be troubled times ahead, but their end was safe. Not a hair of your head will perish. Yes, you will suffer, but your future is secure. This is a theme that goes throughout the Psalms and the Gospels and a lot of the New Testament writings as well. In the Old Testament, many years earlier, towards the end of his life, Joseph met with his brothers, who were afraid that Joseph might have a grudge against them. But in Genesis 50, he was able to reassure them by saying this: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." In other words, I know I was a spoiled brat. I know we were a dysfunctional family. But if you hadn't thrown me down that well, and if I hadn't been carted off to Egypt and been accused and imprisoned, and if I hadn't got out and eventually become prime minister, none of this could have been achieved. You meant it for harm. God intended it for good in the long run. And a lot of what happened to Joseph certainly wasn't good. Not at all. Yet God turned it to good. And yet in this psalm there's also present promise. This is a reassurance for now, not just for the future. And don't we just need some reassurance these days? The promise is that God will be with you during all sorts of problems, including, if you read the verses we've just read, pestilence and plague. And I'm sure that covers COVID as well. No, God won't stop it happening, but he will save you. He will save you from it. Rather, he will not so much save you from it as save you through it, to get through it. Verse 15, I think, is doubly reassuring. God says, "You will call me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you." You see, we don't have the perspective of eternity. We can only see the here and now. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. But God can see the end from the beginning, and his plan is good. Even things that look terrible to us, God can turn to good in the long run. Now, just a word of warning, it's possible to read too much into this psalm. You could, for instance, read verses 9 and 10, and they say this: "If you make the Most High your dwelling, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent." Clear enough? The devil quoted part of this to Jesus, saying, "It says here," I think I can quote him a bit, "that God will not let you suffer. He will not even let you stub your toe." Now, here we are on the temple roof. Why not just throw yourself off and he'll save you? What about it? Well, it sounds plausible, doesn't it, actually, given these words? How does Jesus respond? He said that God will protect you, but you should not put him to the test like that. Don't push God too far. The psalm encourages us to rest in him, not to test him. Think of it like an insurance policy. It covers you for many things that might go wrong, but not for willful misuse, for abuse, for most policies. And that's what Satan was tempting Jesus to do. I think the psalm uses a lovely picture of God's protection, being like a mother hen with her chicks. The sun is beating down and it's scorching hot. It's the mother hen who takes all the heat while her chicks are fine under her wings. If there's a heavy rainstorm, she takes the full force. If there's a predator about, it's she who gets eaten, to be fair. This is quite an image of God who loves us and wants the best for us and will sacrifice anything for our good, even his own son. Now, you may well be going through difficult times at the moment, I know. I won't try and belittle that because I don't know your situation. Just be assured that God is there looking after you. He has your best interests at heart. No, life isn't easy. It wasn't for the psalmist, and it isn't for you. It wasn't easy for St. Valentine. But on this Valentine's Day, you can be certain that God loves you more than you can ever imagine. As verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And I'm going to close with some words, probably well-known words to you, from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. And this seemed appropriate for Valentine's Day. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword or COVID? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.